The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Are you looking for a new and empowering lens through which to view your life and your health? Then register now for Get Healthy with Sound, a weekend workshop with Eileen McCusick, an innovator in the fields of therapeutic sound, electric health, and the human biofield, May 24th to 26th at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Learn easy and accessible techniques to reduce stress, improve focus, and increase energy. Learn more today at eomega.org/thrive.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. Stephen Farmer, psychotherapist, shamanic practitioner, author, and teacher, and I'll be exploring with you ways to connect with spirit animals, ancestors, spirits of nature, how to heal from trauma, and many other topics. So stay tuned. Hi, welcome back. This is Dr. Stephen Farmer, aka Doc Stephen. Welcome back to Healing for Your Soul. And we explore a lot of different territories on this particular podcast, Healing for Your Soul. And I have someone I've known for a few years that I can vouch, having sat with her in a session, that she's the real deal. And this is Hollister Rand, medium Hollister Rand. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about her. And her website is very, very accessible. Hollister, H-O-L-L, Hollister, R-A-N-D.com, HollisterRand.com. I highly recommend you check her out. You know, listen to what she has to say today. We're just going to have a conversation and we'll move from there. But do check out her website and I'll tell you about her latest book. She'll tell us about her latest book. Hollister Rand is an internationally renowned medium, author, and speaker. She provides specific messages from loved ones in spirit with feeling, heart, and grace. Oh, I like that a lot. Hollister can see and hear spirits as well as get a sense of their personalities and emotions. During the last 25 plus years, her unique abilities have provided comfort and healing to tens of thousands of people worldwide. Hollister's first book, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different, which I love the title, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different, was released by HarperCollins in April of 2011 and has garnered glowing reviews and endorsements. And again, she'll talk about her latest book, which is called Everything You Wanted to Know About the Afterlife. Very timely. It's out. Both books are available now. And I have a hunch that we're going to see more of those from Hollister. So Hollister, welcome. It's good to see to talk with you, I guess, since we're on a audio medium. So welcome to the program, the podcast.
It's just wonderful to speak with you again.
It is. It's nice. It's really nice to see you. Got your little puppy dog there, and I got one over here at the door.
Yes.
He might be whining to get out, so we might have a slight interruption here. Anyway, to start with, just tell us a little bit about, you know, what, how did you come to become, to work this way as a medium? You know, that's what you do, and that's who you are. But how did that happen?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, growing up, being a medium was not a career path. I mean, it's a career path today. I mean, people do want to pursue metaphysical work and healing work. But when I was growing up, that just wasn't what people did. So I had a sensitivity and a connection to spirits as a child, but it was much more of a fearful thing. The first spirit I saw was my grandfather, which was wonderful. But I learned shortly afterwards that, gee, it really wasn't okay to see a lot of good people around. So there was a lot of fear initially. And after a car crash, when I was 18, a very, very severe car crash, I could no longer turn away the spirits. It kind of overcame me. So I had to come to terms with it. And I did, through learning with other mediums and reading about everything that I could, and training and working and developing my relationships with guides, with spirits, with higher level spirits. That made me the medium I am today. And that's why I also love to teach about the work, because anyone who may have fear around death or dying, or have pain around loss, I'd like to be a solution for that.
You know, from my personal experience with you, a reading that you did on my behalf, oh gosh, I can't even remember how long ago, you know, I lose track of the perspective on time, but a few years back, let's just call it that. And my father came through and gave me some really powerful messages and communication. So again, I appreciate that very, very much. So you were puzzled, fearful of it as a child, understandably. Did you have anyone you talked to, you're able to talk to about these phenomena?
Well, my mother, I came to understand that my mother and my grandmother were incredibly intuitive people. But that it wasn't really part of how they processed the world or talked about it. So what I started doing was reading everything by Hans Holzer, reading everything I could find about ghosts. And Dr. Raymond Moody was someone I turned to, learning about life after death, near-death experiences, joining the Rosicrucians, if you can believe it. And when I was barely a teenager, and you weren't supposed to do it, but everything was via mail, like snail mail. You would just, they would send you monthly stuff to read. So I read everything I could about death, dying, ghosts, different religious traditions, communicating with ghosts. So yeah, I kind of had an obsession, I guess I would say.
Well, they call it magnificent obsession. maybe it didn't feel real magnificent there from time to time, but I think that's important. I think when we get the calling for something, whatever it may be, but the calling for something, especially in this larger field here of, I don't know what to call it, metaphysics, new age, etc., psychic phenomena. When you get the call to do that is, yeah, what you did, you seek out teachers, you seek out books, you seek out training, you seek out mentors, etc. So I admire you for doing that
I also had an unusual mentor, which was the Christian church, the evangelical and the church where there was healing and all of this kind of stuff. So I worked with spirit in a very, very big way. And little did I know that that would open me up and, you know, lead me into a place where I was stepping into healing. I was seeing spirits with people while singing in church because I was a musician at the time. So music, spirit, prayer, this high level of God energy was all in my training. And I didn't even realize it at the time.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. And it obviously helped you develop, shall we say, trust in the information and the visions that you're having and the information that you're getting.
Yes. One of the first really intense situations was at a conference. It was a Christian get together, and I was singing, and I looked out and I saw a young woman with a female next to her. And it turned out to be her grandmother. And I mentioned it. The grandmother said there was a rape, et cetera, et cetera. And I gave the girl this information. She said, "How do you know about this? I haven't spoken to anybody about it." I thought, okay, there's something going on that I need to figure out. What do I do now?
Yeah. So that was a key. That was a trigger.
That was a trigger.
In the best sense of the word.
And shortly afterwards, I moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, where I came in contact with a lot of metaphysical people. And that was really the start of the real stuff in my life. And do we need to take care of that puppy? I think that we have a puppy who's...
Yes. So you had some really powerful, shall I call them training experiences that Spirit handed to you, like seeing the woman's grandmother who...
Yes, but I then realized that I was moving beyond a limitation of dogma, you know, of there was no limitation. Spirit was taking me to a different place of connection. And I had to honor that. So then I needed a new group of teachers. So that's the thing I would say to people is one teacher isn't one size fits all because we have different teachers in our lives for different times, for different experiences. And if we are willing to allow it, we will keep growing. And that I would say is one of my deals with the spirits is show me something new. I'm a different medium today than I was when I first started out, because as I have been willing to grow and change and step out of my comfort zone, and as we all are willing to expand our consciousness, Spirit can show us so much more. So that is the thing that really excites me. As a medium, it would be very easy to work with a very specific set of parameters because you know it works. You know, if I do this, if I say this prayer, if I do this, that, or the other thing, then I will get a clear connection. But if you come at it from the standpoint of show me something new, and that really speaks to trust, building your relationship with Spirit, knowing that you're working at a high frequency. So I work at the frequency of love. Working at that frequency, only the highest, the best, the most loving, and the healing energy and spirits are present in that place. And then it's safe to play. So that's what I really love about this.
And that is, like you described, you said you're a lot different than, which probably I could say as well as a few other people, but you're a lot different medium now than you were then. And you touched on a couple of things, but how have you evolved? In what way have you evolved? Like what you said about show me something new. I love that. That's very fresh.
Yes, I do it every time I do an event. And I'll give you an example. I did two first larger events after the start of COVID. So I did that in February and March of this year. I guess it was just March of this year in Santa Barbara. So I was doing an event at a spiritualist church and I said to Spirit, show me something new. Show me something new. Hmm. And of the maybe 12 readings that took place in this gallery style event, 9 of the 12 centered around the name Michael. And these people did not know each other. And I began to think, is this a cosmic joke? You know, because, you know, I'd say to the first woman, I see Archangel Michael, but I'm also hearing Michael as though this is a brother. Yes, I have a brother in spirit named Michael, and Archangel Michael is the angel I work with. And I go to the next person. Oh, I hear that there is a male here. I'm hearing suicide. I'm hearing the name Michael. Yes, brother-in-law committed suicide. I mean, it was, you know, it was unbelievable, you know, and not even sure those were the actual causes of death, because I would have to go back and look at a recording if we had one. But it was Michael after Michael after Michael. And I had to stop and say to everybody, have you ever seen anything like this? And I mean, the audience was gobsmacked, as was I, because it was as though we had sent out a memo saying every Michael in spirit. Now, granted, it's a popular name, but really, you know, the amount of resonance, it was so indicative of how this is not our show. It's not the Hollister Rand show. It's not the Dr. Steve Stephen Farmer show. It is Spirit's show. And we show up, you know what I'm saying? And they orchestrated this, because how did those people know to come? How did I know to go to those people? You know, it was unbelievable. So that's what I mean by show me something new, because they will. The fireworks will be in the sky, because they want to know that there's orchestration here, that we are working as a group to forward us all, to bring transformation to everybody here on this planet. This is a transformative time. So when I say show me something new, that is literally what is being shown to all of us if we're willing to pay attention.
Well, I love the question, or the question or the request, you know, show me something new. That could be applicable to, gosh, anybody, to be able to say that, to see what spirit will provide or what spirit will show you, such as the story you just described, for eight out of 10, I think is what you said.
Well, I think it was 9 out of 12, you know.
Something,
it was,
yeah.
It was just so off the charts, not something that could be random in any way.
Yeah, you had me at 3. Yeah, then boom, 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 you know.
Playing. She works with us in the Michael, and she has a Michaelan spirit. What? I mean, yeah.
Okay. Well, the other thing, obviously from that experience too, you had to really put any of your own disbelief or like being stunned perhaps at first, but being able to put that aside and then just operate, you know, to do what you came there to
do. And that is partly the trust that I've developed with spirit. You know, people will ask me, do you censor yourself? Are there messages you get that you won't give? And I say, no, my deal with the spirits is I give it as I get it. So whatever you give me, you're letting me know it's okay for the person. And I mean, there have been some off the wall things that I've said, and I thought, I can't even believe I'm saying this. But indeed, you know, it has indeed been true, and the people could accept it. So I don't censor myself. So that's why I'm faithful. That's why I can go, wow, I'm going to say this, even though I think this is really insane that we could have this many Michaels in one room.
Yeah the filter, it's like you're attempted to throw the filter up, but you have enough practice and experience at this that you don't allow it to really filter what you have. You become a reporter in a sense.
Yes.
You know, that you're just simply reporting what is coming through from spirit.
And I'm so darn delighted with it all. I mean,
I can tell.
Yes.
Well, your excitement shows, you know, and you're passionate about what you're working.
I'm really excited every chance that I have that connection, because I do learn something new. I learn something new about how the universe works, how people work, where the healing is, what are the questions to ask. And I find that to be, you know, if you ask the right questions, you're going to get the answers. But that's the thing. We don't always ask the right questions. So that has been kind of what I've discovered with spirits is when I do a session, I don't have people ask their questions of the spirits. What I say to them is, let's see what the spirits have to say. And then, you know, we'll have time for questions at the end, but I don't want to be prompted by your questions. Well, what I've discovered is that spirits will often answer the questions that people bring, but in a way that's different from what they might expect. So it's the Q&A kind of thing with spirits and us is really intriguing. I love it. And I love doing it backwards like that. I mean, I had one lady who said, oh my God, yeah, answered that, you know, and then she gets down to the bottom. She goes, oh, don't even need to ask that. I mean.
Yeah. You don't need to hear specific questions. That's not the point. In fact, I would think it would sort of interfere a little bit if you were.
Does is it shifts the control from spirits at the frequency of love running the show. And because very often questions are demands. You know, questions are often pain, which is masked in asking for information. And I'll give you an example. This book that I wrote, Everything You Wanted to Know About the Afterlife, But We're Afraid to Ask, is a book about questions. And the reason I did that book, is because I would do these large events and I would say, anybody have any questions? And then the same questions would show up. But after the event, people would come up to me and say things like, well, what happens to someone who commits suicide? Or, you know, will I have to see the father who abused me when I'm in afterlife? And I kept thinking, the best questions don't get asked during the event. Those questions, the people are afraid to ask those questions, the hardest questions, the best questions. So I started asking people to write their questions down and put them anonymously in a little basket. And I would choose questions. And my publisher saw me do this at an event and said, we really like this thing that you're doing. And I started saving all of these little pieces of paper. And that's how I created the book.
Wow, brilliant. And the book is called Everything You Wanted to Know About the Afterlife, But We're Afraid to Ask. I love the title. And you also have that earlier book that you wrote, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different.
I know, Kids and Spirit teach us about living on Earth. And that title, I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't, because a kid in spirit gave me that title. His parents and sister came to see me for a private session. And God, he was a fast kid. Like, he was running around. I couldn't even see him. He was like a blur. And turns out he did used to run. I guess he ran track or something like that, but he was a fast kid. And his father put his head in his hands and said, he's dead and gone. He's dead and gone. And the kid said, I'm not dead and gone. I'm different. And I was so taken with that response. I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up now, this many years later. I was so taken with the wisdom and the comfort in that statement that I asked the father, I said, would you mind if I use that as a title of a book? And I did.
Are you looking for a new and empowering lens through which to view your life and your health? Then register now for Get Healthy with Sound, a weekend workshop with Eileen McCusick, an innovator in the fields of therapeutic sound, electric health, and the human biofield, May 24th to 26th at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Learn easy and accessible techniques to reduce stress, improve focus, and increase energy. Learn more today at eomega.org/thrive.
And you did, yeah. What are you wanting to convey with that book? I'm not dead,
well,
I'm different.
That was not a book of my choosing. I did not want to write about kids in spirit. It seemed like such a heavy, difficult subject. Plus, I don't have children of my own. And I thought, what standing do I have? And then a dear friend of mine said, so I was asked by my publisher, you know, I had just written down the title of the book without any synopsis or anything. And the publisher said, what about this book? What about that title? What about Kids in Spirit? And I went, oh. And a friend of mine said, Holly, you are the one to write this book. These kids love you. You have talked to so many of the young in spirit that you are the person who relates to them as people. You do not relate to them in loss and pain and grief. If you were a mother, you would have this feeling of grief that you would share with all of these parents, but you connect with kids in joy. And I went, okay. Then I am the one who needs to convey that joy, that healing, and that love to their parents and their siblings and their grandparents.
Wow, that is powerful work too, you know, especially losing a child, you know, to be able to turn to someone like yourself and receive that kind of reassurance from the other side, you know, that I'm not dead, I'm different. I love that.
And kids are funny in spirit, you know, they're so funny. They're so light. I remember there was one young man, I think this is in the book. He said, I saw the light, then I saw the light. And I thought, what on earth is that? And his mother said, that's exactly what happened. He was skateboarding and he saw a street light, a street lamp, and then he hit it. He died instantly. And he saw the light of spirit.
And he saw the light.
Yeah. I saw the light, then I saw the light. It was that fast. And that was his way of summing up his death. There was no pain. There was no fear. It was so instantaneous. And it all of a sudden reframed the thinking that he saw the light and his light went out. Because that's how we see it.
Right.
But he brought it completely differently to us. I saw the
circle. Yeah. Great story too. Great story.
Kids are amazing.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm not dead. I'm different. Has a lot of those kind of tales, those kind of stories in them. Okay.
Yes.
Good. Good. Can anyone do mediumship?
Oh, I believe we are all mediums. You know, there's this idea of mediums are born, not made. I think mediums are both. I think we're all born with the capacity to connect to spirit. Mm-hmm. If we weren't, there would be no religion. There would be no interest in afterlife. There would be no questioning of what comes next. If we weren't wired and didn't have a desire to be more than we are, or to be our best selves, it would be maybe just a few of us who do this. I remember when I was selling my first book and we were talking about, you know, is there a market for this? And, you know, all of this kind of thing. And I said, you know what? There are a lot of closet spiritualists in the world. There are people who are having their own experiences, but won't talk about it. I said, and this whole world is going to just really open up as it has. This younger generation has really embraced spirituality. So yes, I do indeed believe that we are born with the capacity and the desire in many cases to connect with spirit. And then comes, it's the nature-nurture kind of discussion all over again, because then what do you do with it? So just as we are all born with the ability to either sing, maybe perhaps badly in the shower, or enjoy music, it's part of us as humanity.
Right.
But then you have someone like Renee Fleming or Justin Bieber, you know, where you have talent and you also have training. And then we have the standouts, okay? Then we have the people we could aspire to be or just rejoice in, who bring us joy and healing. That's how I look at mediumship.
Mm.
Talent, which can be nurtured and taught, but that we all have the capacity.
You know, I've heard a few stories from people I've worked with where they had that capacity without any training, you know, one of those, the nature, but they shut it down.
Yes.
You know, suppressed it at the minimum, not repressed it necessarily, but they at least suppressed it because it wouldn't be acceptable to the family, to the culture, to the community, etc. So it takes something like what you have to offer, perhaps, to make it okay to sort of authorize it, like, yeah, you know, it's a little weird, you know, but a lot of people are doing it now. It's okay. And by the way, I see your grandfather.
Yeah.
something like that, you know, and it would encourage people, which brings me to my question, Hollister, do you do trainings?
Yes, I used to do a lot of mediumship trainings pre-pandemic. And so I'm trying to figure out now, how do I move it forward? Because one of the things I've always loved about mediumship training is getting a group in person in a room, you know, where you can really feel the energy, where I'm working with people and they've got the connection and it's very visceral. And I have found that we are better together than we are apart. So what happens is you get a group and the energy builds, you know, and then everybody is lifted with that. So you keep hitting these high frequencies and it just ripples through everybody. So I'm trying to figure out how I duplicate that. Is it, do I do large groups again with this, or do I go, you know, do I do a retreat, or I'm trying to figure out what the way forward is with mediumship training. I'm not exactly sure yet. And I'm open to suggestion. So if anyone listening has, you know, a retreat center or is interested in fostering this kind of safe environment or something like this. You know,
I'm jotting a note down about that. So if something comes up in I brainstorm it. I also think that sometimes there's a waiting period. You know, you get the idea that's planted, that's inspired, but you're not sure the form, you know, the structure of it, which is what I'm hearing. The word of the year, I guess I would say, or the last while, is to allow something to emerge. Example here on this end, not mediumship so much, but articles, you know, writing, etc. You know, I've been a bit stalled about it. And yet suddenly, all of a sudden, I've got like three articles that I want to write. I'm getting an idea for a book, you know, etc. But this has all just been emerging, like almost like telling my ego mind, my usual self, just quiet, you know, it'll get here. Just hang on, you know, like a little child or something like that. Yeah, we're almost to Disneyland. It's okay. You know, that sort of thing, not that pedantic, but, and it sounds like you're in that space right now. It's like, okay.
Really, really am. And you know what? It's okay. And I'm a right. Capricorn. So usually this kind of, all right, let's allow, isn't what a Capricorn does. I mean, you know.
I'm a Capricorn.
Self. Okay, so you know what I mean. In my Capricorn self, I have lists, I have calendars, you know, I have dot journals. Do you know what I'm saying? I've got.
Oh, absolutely.
I work on Asana. Do you know what I'm saying? It's.
Yes.
Not how I have worked in the past. I have set goals, I've met the goals, blah, blah, blah. That's how I go. But I have to say that there, you know, you and I were talking about this when we first said hello to each other before we were really doing the podcast, is this idea of plans and not having plans in quite the same way. So what I would say is I am looking at inspiration and I'm looking at direction and I'm looking at allowing. And I'm also questioning, where do I put energy now? You know, what is the thing that needs addressing at this moment in time? So it really is a moment to moment thing. And, you know, that's, and I'm finding it with travel, with anything that I have to do. There are so many moving parts that anything could be disrupted at any moment in time.
So true.
You know, So I tend to live very much in the present moment, which is exactly where the spirits have wanted us to be for a very long time.
One of the working titles for an article is Spiritual Agility.
I love it.
You can use that, you know, if you want.
Yes.
But
yeah,
it's exactly what you're talking about. I think we have to learn to be agile, you know, to be able to shift as needed, depending upon the circumstances. So I'm very much... very much in alignment with what you're saying. You know, it's so easy. And again, I'm a Capricorn also. And I like plans. I fuss a bit if a schedule gets disrupted. You know, not too long though. I don't hang out there. I don't dwell there, but I do react, you know, I whine, pout, you know, and then, okay, let's get over it, farmer. You know, come on, let's keep moving here and see what shows up next, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm really with you. I wish I'm going to have you back, you know, if you are willing to do so at some point, maybe down the road after your book your book is out, right? Everything You Wanted to Know About the Afterlife. And that is available, I'm sure, at Amazon, as well as the first one. I'm Not Dead, I'm Different.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble, I think, and probably in bookstores, too. You can always, if people want an old-fashioned bookstore experience, they can do that, too.
Do we actually have bookstores anymore?
I hope so. I haven't been in one, but I hope to find one.
Yeah. That would be funny. I have to look at the mall here, you know, the Barnes & Noble that is there or was there, or whatever. talk about things changing. Yeah, things change. Wow.
You know what? So. It really, at this point, is it's less about doing and more about being. And that's where we are.
Good way to close, too. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hollister, you're an amazing woman. I like your humility about this, too. You know, you have these gifts that you've honed, you know, through the practices, the trainings, etc. Certainly, you're reaching out to others, too, through your communications, you know, the written communication as well as the verbal. And I appreciate that. I think that, you know, people need to have all of us, I think, that's doing any of this kind of work, you know, mediumship or other kinds of avenues like this. I call it, you know, we need to be on the front line at this stage, you know, whatever that looks like, whatever that means to anybody. So those of you who are listening, I do invite you to check out Hollister's website, check out Hollister, you know, sign up for a session, you know, do some work with her, because I think you'll be totally pleased. I know that, you know, and I speak from experience too. You know, we've known each other for several years, and I did have a sitting with you, which was wonderful. And, the whole realm of mediumship to me is absolutely fascinating. You know, I've seen you in action, of course, and I've seen some others like James von Prague and John Holland, etc., a few others like that. And it's astounding, you know, that that kind of information can come forward, not just information, but the, you know, the spirits back there waving their hands and saying, here, here, tell them about this. And then you do, and they go, huh. How did you know that? Like you said in the one story.
Well, we all have an entourage. We are not in this life alone, and that's for sure.
Yeah. So again, thank you. I appreciate it. And say hi to your little puppy dog there.
Hi, thanks so much. Bye.
You sweet. Okay, bye-bye. Thanks for joining me, and I hope you join me for future episodes where I'll share some powerful healing practices and meditations, introduce you to some amazing guests and friends of mine who will stop by for some conversation, and on occasion I'll pull some oracle cards from one of my decks and do readings. I'll also share some of my original music that I'm sure you'll enjoy. If you like what I'm doing, please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to my show page on mindbodyspirit.fm, where you can also get the free mobile app to listen to any of my shows or find some new favorites. If you'd like to contact me with questions, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram, or send an email to info@drstephenfarmer.com. You can also find lots of material on that website, drstephenfarmer.com, so please feel free to explore. Please also know that by sending a question, you're giving me permission to possibly use it in a future podcast, so others may benefit from it. And to close, I leave you with the four most important words to take with you. Gratitude, love, compassion, and forgiveness.
What is it you really want in life? No matter what you've been through, you can still achieve it. I'm Sandra Ann Taylor, and in my Energy Activation podcast, we'll explore the science of manifestation. And I'll give you specific techniques to shift your energy in order to make your dreams a reality. I also do live energy readings, and you can be a part of the show by emailing your questions to me at sandrataylor.net. Join me on the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network or wherever you get your podcasts.